Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome to another edition. I hope that this time is encouraging to you, challenging to your thinking, and very helpful to you, that it brings you a new perspective. You know, a lot of the people in my audience are from a religious perspective. They're Christian, they're Jews, they're Mormons, they are atheists, and yes, I do see atheists as very religious people. Everybody comes from a faith commitment of some sort. Nobody's off the hook. Everybody is spiritual because we are not just confined to our bodies. Everybody is spiritual. Everything is faith-based. And so the subject of religion is something that we all relate to, but some people don't define themselves as such. Some people see themselves as not religious or not the religious type. And that's okay. But the longer you listen, the longer you're going to realize that we're all in the same boat. We all share a common denominator, that we are all people of faith. It differs what we put our faith in, the way we understand truth and what we define as true certainly differs. We all have different experiences, but that's what makes this subject so interesting. That's the focus of this KevCast, is to engage in this kind of conversation. Now, some of you might have noticed that I've used the explicit nomenclature on my podcast, and you're wondering, gosh, is he going to drop a bunch of F-bombs and, you know, talk about, you know, gory things? Well, no. Maybe, but no, that's not my plan. I'm not here to be a shock jock. I'm not here to be someone who uses crude or foul or obtuse language just for the use of it. But there may be a time where I do, because in my normal conversation with people, sometimes I do use language that is very descriptive. I also will talk about things that may not be appropriate for the kids in the back seat. And so I thought it would be a lot wiser to simply put the explicit labeling on this podcast, because I don't want people to just assume that this is a safe place. Just because I talk about faith and religion and those types of things doesn't mean that it is segregated from life, that it's far off and lofty and it doesn't contain the raw and the real aspects of human experience. Quite to the contrary, and as such, we get an explicit thing here. Now, today I want to talk about the difference between a religion and a kingdom. There's a huge difference. A lot of people in our world right now are really getting sick and tired of religion, and I can hardly blame them. They turn on the news and they see ISIS. They see the most fundamental version, the worst possible version of Islam, where it's killing people, abusing people, hurting people, all to, in a militaristic way, take over the world. I mean, that mindset is out. It is, we've long passed that with our consciousness. But yet, here's a group of people who still embrace it. And the modern world looks at this and says, you guys, come on. I call BS on that. Other people are sick of religious fundamentalism in the Christian world. They got their own music, they got their own soap, they got their own stores, their churches all have the same message, and it's that God loves you so much, unless you don't choose him, and then he hates you, then he's your dread warrior. The second you die, if you didn't accept Jesus into some imaginary part of your heart, this God is going to permanently punish you and torture you forever. Well, that message gets a little old, and while some people hold to that message with great conviction, and there's evidence in Scripture that I can see where they drew the lines to get those ideas, it's not exactly how it is. And so the world is tiring of that. When you see a blog post. And I'm one of those folks who do the blog post. But when you see it and it has a spiritual nature or religious nature to it, some people don't even respond. They just scroll right through. This is something that leaves a taste in people's mouth. And of course, you've got the whole world of church planters now. The young, you know, the ones that have the skinny jeans, the neck beards. They're being relevant. Their music is so loud and the room is dark and there's a bunch of candles. And I mean, I get it. It's a very big departure from pipe organs and dudes in dresses. But it's still the same cake with a different frosting. The message isn't that different. It's you got to come. You got to be in our service, our system, our delivery system, or else you are deficient and broken, perhaps lost, dejected. And I mean, that's all around us. And there's this tension in the world. And that's what this podcast is all about. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about that stuff. And today, religion or a kingdom. So isn't man's biggest complaint with God the fact that God doesn't do as man wants? I mean, almost every atheist probably prayed a test prayer at one point just to see if it were true. In fact, those who have abandoned their faith and gone into atheism have concluded that their prayers have not been answered. Somebody with cancer didn't get cured. Their parents didn't get back together. That terrible thing happened to them. It was all had to be untrue because they prayed and God didn't answer. Therefore, God can't be real. Or if he is real, he doesn't give a shit. That is the mindset of modern people. And so if it's our greatest complaint that God doesn't do what we want, then on the flip side, we know that the greatest worship of God is that God satisfied our deepest wants. Somehow, and all those people who are firmly believing, they certainly have unanswered prayers too, but somehow a deeper wanter was satisfied. And that elicited this absolute allegiance to this belief system, right? Somehow, something in their life was satisfied to a point where they said, I will go and do whatever I'm required. And that's the essence of religion. And every religion known to man is really just a delicate dance where a man convinces himself that he can get God to do as he pleases, or at least to get the necessary support or validation. And then this always happens in those systems if and only if certain religious behavior is followed closely. There's always a recipe, right? Some people have a big, long recipe and a rule book of things you can do and things you can't do. You can't drink, smoke, cuss, or chew. You certainly can't date girls who do. That's religion. A religious man who obeys these rules will almost always find a place in leadership in a religious delivery system. You see, the more you follow the rules and the more tenaciously you fight for the rules, the more likely you are to be smiled upon by those who lead you. They'll say, this is somebody who's got it. This is a bright one. This is a strong one, a brilliant one, a great leader, someone we can trust, someone we can empower, right? And so as those validations keep coming, the belief in the rules keep coming, and so does obedience. It's always about obedience, right? Now, when others look to him, they see something different, right? They see something different. They see a religious leader. And others look to him and say, gosh, how can I get that favor too? How can I get God to smile on me? It must be the obedience of those rules. You know, I noticed that that person put a chrome fish on the back of their car. I noticed that that person signed up for that religious retreat. I noticed that that person goes to church or synagogue or temple or mosque 6 times a week. I only go once a month. I should certainly up my quota to be closer. If I do those things, maybe God will bless me like they're blessing that person. This has the effect of ratifying those beliefs. It has the effect of elevating those closest to the system of power. Now, I can say all this. Why? Because I've given 25 years in the system. I know exactly what I'm talking about. This is a power play. It's not that it's evil or bad or terrible. Oh, yes, bad, evil, and terrible things come from it. But it's full of sincere people who are trying to do good work that changes and helps the world. But I can tell you, the system is broken. It's not supposed to be a perfect system. It's led by broken people. But over time, the beliefs that are not questioned, and those that are further back still, no one questions any longer if God has actually attended this effort. Right? You get so into the form that you forget to question why we do this thing. Except those people we call doubters. Those people who kind of come and their arms folded and sit on the sideline, they go, why do you do that? Those are seen as dissidents, rebels, unbelievers, outsiders, right? Those are not the people we want in leadership. Those are the people we consider to be on the fringe, but they're actually the ones that are seeing something. They're actually the ones that are kind of like, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. My BS detector is in the red zone for some reason, and I'm not buying it. I used to attend a church where when the communion service would come, as an elder, one of the elders on our group said, we have to fence the table. Now, what does that mean? Well, fencing the table means you have to put a fence, essentially, around who can take communion and who can't. Because this particular person believed that if they took communion and didn't share those beliefs equally with everybody else, that they would get sick and die, literally. In fact, this person often said so. Now, it's kind of silly because we know we're just eating unleavened, or actually leavened sourdough bread and grape juice. But this person felt that the spiritual nature of the communion thing warranted the threat. If you don't believe like we believe, you can't take this. I took a lot of flack because I had a young daughter who expressed a very genuine faith and belief in God. And there are a lot of people questioned that at her age, could she possibly really understand communion? And therefore, was it inappropriate for her to take it? So, I mean, I get this stuff, right? These religious things come and go, but there's always those people who sit on the sidelines. And I'm like, I couldn't even sell it. And I was in there. I'm like, dude, anybody who wants to take because they have a little bit of faith, I'm good. You come. You take, you partake of this. It's a gift. It's an expression of total generative, self-giving love. And if you want to be a part of that story, come and eat. That's my spin. But I was always in these churches that kind of wanted to put rules around it. So I get it, right? Those are dissidents. Those are the people that don't quite get it. But think about it. You know, a stopped clock is always right twice a day. The religious traditions continue. So they might only be right once a year, but they're going to continue. Those that have all the answers never permit any real questions. That was my biggest frustration when I lived in those religious systems. I no longer go to church on a regular basis. I've gone like 2 or 3 times in the last 3 years. And it's not that I think the institution is wrong or broken. It's just that it doesn't work for me, and it doesn't work for a lot of modern people. But what if a new idea came along? What if an idea said, you can't manipulate God and make him your subject? What if this idea said, you can know aspects of God, and as a result, you will really get to know yourself? That the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self are somehow connected. That if you want to find that deepest, purest, real part of yourself, that's actually a spiritual journey. That's an engagement with trying to find who God is. Wow. What if this God's way were such that they force us to experience the full bandwidth of humanity rather than help us escape from it? I mean, think about it. A lot of churches are like, hey, man, that's fleshly. That's bad. That's dirty. That's evil. That's carnal. You got to give room for your spirit. And they take your spiritual life and they elevate it up to the clouds while they diminish your humanity. And so the whole religion is about evacuating this earth that they see as a dump heap. It's about evacuating this body that is so full of corrupt sin and bad desires that one day you'll just truly be liberated to have pure motives in a spiritual disembodied experience. Is that what the Bible talks about? I don't think so. You know, if we're not to escape from our body, then what? I mean, if so, could we really liberate ourselves from our systems and our varied prisons of choice and habit? People who've lived like this would be amazed at how countercultural that idea would be. What if you could actually get out of the system? What if a message came along and said, hey man, that way doesn't work. The religious rules, you know, kind of, you know, as you know, that kind of strategy, it doesn't work. So what if there was something different? People who'd lived differently somehow would be touching something. They'd be like a city within our cities. They would be distinct. They'd be called out by the liberty in which they lived. And that's what we all seek. We all seek this kind of liberty. But to be called out, that would be a people among people, right? These would be a people that no longer used religion to endorse their agendas. They wouldn't use religion to control people or oppress people, but they would bring liberty to those in bondage and clarity and peace about their human experience. These would be people that say, hey man, it's okay to be human. It's actually part of the design. It's a good thing. Faithfulness to this kind of a system would look very different. It would not even look religious at all, because the rules of one would not be the rules of the other. This would be based upon the consciousness and the maturity of the individual. It would be an enviable life. People who live that way, that free, that unfettered, that full, that abundant, that thriving, those would be the people we'd envy. The organizational rules of play would be shared and certainly not burdensome. There's no more piety. It's just inspiration. Generosity would not have expectations attached to it. Belief wouldn't be extraterrestrial, but it would be on the plane of common human ordinary life. Diligence may be reflected in the system, but it wouldn't be for the sake of the system. It's like a non-stick coating. This type of people would have open hands to all that the culture offers. Be able to receive, but not possess. Savor, but not hoard. To utilize, but never waste. Creating, but not destroying. Motivating by doing the right thing for others. That's the motivation. This would be a kingdom, wouldn't it? Not a religion. A kingdom instead of a religion. And if it's a kingdom, then its king would be a king who really reigns, not one who bows. This would be a place where the gates remained open to everyone who would desire to be a part. Imagine my surprise when I discovered its construction had already begun. You see, when I read the Bible and I see Jesus talk about something, he talks more than anything else about the kingdom of God. And he said, it's here now, and it's also coming. What he's saying is aspects of it are here, amongst your midst. You can have it, possess it, live it, be in it, be a part of it, be a citizen in it now. And yet when it comes to its full completion, it's going to blow your mind. But those aspects that will blow your mind here and now today. That is amazing. And so once I discovered that, my tolerance level for religion took a dive. It's no wonder Jesus was so hostile to the religious leaders. He's like, you're leading everybody into a ditch. You're not connected to the right things. It's all about this religious false self that you're developing, and no one's finding the true liberation and the freedom that they truly hunger and thirst for. But those who find my kingdom find it. It's pretty interesting stuff. It changes my perspective. I hope it changes yours, and I hope that you'll tune in again for another edition of the KevCast. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.